Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. Christmas stories, we love them, whether they're Christmas stories that you grew up hearing about Santa Claus or about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Phil and Frosty the Snowman. I love everything about Christmas. You see the crazy shirts that I often wear, the short sleeve ones I wear in the summer with all the different things. I have a whole set of Christmas ones that I wear as well. And I love everything about Christmas. But we know as Christians, the reason for the season, that cliche statement, the reason Jesus is the reason for the season. And as cliche as that is, it's true. Jesus is the reason for Christmas. That's why it's celebrated. People that don't know Christ may not understand that. But the truth is, Christmas is all about Jesus. Many of you have a nativity set up in your house. We have one that's set up right on our piano in the living room. And it's got Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus and the wise men, the shepherds, and all these different things. And there are many characters surrounding the Christmas story, the real Christmas story, that are talked about. We talk about the shepherds on the hillside. We talk about the wise men coming later on bringing gifts. We talk about the Virgin Mary conceiving and the miracle of that. We talk obviously about Jesus and we talk about all these characters of Christmas. But there are some characters in the Christmas story that don't get talked about as much. And that's the sermon series this month. For the next four Sundays, we'll talk about some Christmas characters. And I entitled the Christmas sermon series for this month, The People God Didn't Forget. They're in the Christmas story. We know about them, but they're not talked about much. So this is the month. I'm excited about it. I'll tell you, the little drummer boy is not on the list. All right? Sorry. Love the song. I don't think he's real. It's a great story, great claymation. But as I go each week, you'll be like, oh yeah, we know these people. We know these characters, but I want to hone in on them this season for our Christmas series. Luke chapter 1, if you can go in your Bibles there, Luke chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 1. We know the Christmas story is in Luke chapter 2, that main one we read. We're going to start in Luke chapter 1 today. If you have your cell phone, you can go there as well. But whatever, find a place to read and we'll read some scriptures today. Luke chapter 1. And let's look at verse 26. The sermon today is on Gabriel, the messenger God trusted. Gabriel, the messenger that God trusted. Let's see how Gabriel, this angel of God, this messenger from God, fits into the story. Luke 1:26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. What's going on here? Verse number 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. And never forget the miracle of the virgin birth. That is why, as Christians, we have such faith. A virgin conceived. This is a miracle. A miracle. Anybody can have a baby. Anybody can get pregnant. This was a virgin who conceived. And we see that the angel told her this. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. Verse 32. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I'm a virgin. How can this be? Verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Verse 38, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Whatever you want, I'll do. And the angel departed from her. Gabriel, the messenger, God trusted. Before there was a manger, before there is straw and swaddling clothes, before shepherds on a hillside with angels singing, there is an angel. There is one singular angel. Not a background angel, not a decorative angel that we see. No, it's the angel Gabriel. The name Gabriel means God is my strength. And by the way, this is not the first time we meet Gabriel in the scriptures. This is not his first assignment. When God needed prophecy explained to the prophet Daniel, he sent Gabriel. You see it in Daniel chapter 8 and Daniel chapter 9. When God needed to announce the birth of John the Baptist, the one who was coming to prepare the way for Jesus, for the Messiah, he sent Gabriel. And you see that in verse 19 of this same chapter when Gabriel went to John and Elizabeth. And when God was ready to break 400 years of silence for his people waiting for the Messiah, he sent Gabriel again. And this truth and this story shows us something powerful. God doesn't just trust random messengers with eternal moments. Luke 1:19 says Gabriel stands in the presence of God. This message didn't come from rumor, no, it came from the throne room. Gabriel sent by God to tell Mary, you will bear the Messiah. For 400 years, there was no prophet proclaiming the Messiah was coming. There was no vision. There was no word from God. Some thought God had forgotten them. The people of God, the Jewish culture, they thought God had forgotten them. But Scripture reminds us, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3 says, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. Can I remind you something this morning, church? Think about these people, the Israelites, waiting 400 years for a word from God before the Messiah came, before Gabriel came with this message of hope that Mary would bear Jesus Christ. Waiting and waiting. Listen, silence is not absence. When you're waiting to hear from God and you seem like nothing is happening and nothing is going on, I'm praying and praying and not seeing an answer and not hearing from God. Silence is not absence. God is still with you. Waiting on God, waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for an answer. Waiting does not mean forgetting that God has forgotten you. Some of you are waiting on answers. Some of you are waiting on miracles. Some of you are waiting on better reports. Waiting does not mean that God has forgotten. And when God speaks again, he doesn't whisper apologies. No, he declares hope. Sorry I made you wait. No. It's always for a reason. Gabriel's first words to Mary, fear not. Fear not, because when hope arrives, the hope of the Messiah for the Israelite people, the hope of Christ for your life, when hope arrives, fear has to move. Some of you carry fear in your life, in your heart, in your mind, in your anxieties every single day of your life. You carry it to work. You carry it as you bring the kids to school. You carry it as you sit at the house and clean. Whatever it may be, you carry fear. When hope arrives, when God finally gives his word to you, when God finally whispers peace to your soul, fear has to move. Before the baby is even born, God makes something clear. As Gabriel gives this message to the Virgin Mary, his people were never forgotten. Were never forgotten. So with this sermon series today, four things that God didn't forget. Number one, God didn't forget his promise to his people. God didn't forget his promise to his people. Verse 31 in Luke chapter 1, let's look at it again. When he is talking, it says, and behold, Gabriel speaking to Mary, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Gabriel announces a kingdom with no end. This isn't new. It's fulfillment. This has already been spoken in the scriptures from the prophets. In Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, With the serpent, Jesus, God said in Genesis 3, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God had promised that, hey, there's a promise, I'll take care of you. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Hundreds of years before, the prophet Isaiah said this, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is not a new message. This has been told afore from before. Micah 5:2, I mentioned earlier in the sermon. Micah, the prophet Micah said, thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Jews, that's just a small town, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The prophets had spoken the words of God that those people at that time had promised a Messiah would come. He would not forget his people. His kingdom would reign. God never rushes promises, but he never misses deadlines. He's always on time. Even when Jesus came and Lazarus, remember Lazarus was dead in the tomb for 4 days? They had told him that Lazarus was sick and dying, and Jesus waited with his disciples. He goes, Lazarus has been dead in the tomb for 4 days, and yet he rose again by the words of Christ. He may have seemed late, but he was always on time. Some of you are frustrated right now, not because God hasn't spoken, but because you're still waiting on what he already said. You trust God. Hey, you have faith in God. You believe that God is who he says he is. So guess what? For the situations and troubles and struggles in your life, you've prayed in faith, believing God will answer. You've believed. Some of you have even taken a step of faith in your life. And now, because nothing seems to be happening, you're wondering if God remembers us at all. But the waiting season is not the forgetting season. The same God who remembered his promise, never forgot it, after 400 years, has not forgotten what he spoke over your life. Your family, what he has spoken over your family and your calling, he has not forgotten. You may be standing between prophecy and delivery, but God is never late. He is never late. Stop measuring God's faithfulness by your calendar. Oh, I'm guilty of that so often. I can get in such a bad mood sometimes when I'm waiting on an answer, when I pray for something and it doesn't happen. Or oftentimes in my life, I'll pray for something, then I'll think the answer's on its way, oh, and then it does, it's not. And I'm like, oh, and I get so mad wondering, does God even care? Even though I've seen him time and time again provide, answer prayer, deliver, and guide time and time, grace upon grace, miracle after miracle, and yet I still get frustrated and wonder where God is. Stop measuring God's faithfulness and grace by your calendar and start measuring it by his character, who he is. Some of us aren't doubting God's power. We believe he can do it. We're just doubting his timing. We're doubting his timing. Scripture settles this. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Joshua 21, there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. If God said it, time can't erase it. That's the promise of God. Delay in your life. Delay doesn't mean denial. It means development. God is working in you. You're waiting. There seems to be a delay in your answer to in your prayers, and you're wondering where God is. Delay does not mean God is saying no and denying it. No. Delay is development. God is strengthening you. God is showing you that you have his grace and his strength and the power of the Holy Spirit to guide you in everyday life. You have what it takes by the grace of God. You are not alone. You are not forgotten. He is with you. God didn't forget his promise. If he said it, I believe it. If he said it, he'll do it. Number two, God didn't forget his people. God didn't forget his people. Gabriel didn't go to Jerusalem, that holy city where all the Pharisees were, the religious people. This was Jerusalem. He didn't go to Jerusalem. No, he went to Nazareth. Little old Nazareth. Remember when Jesus was starting his ministry and he went to, I believe it was Nathanael. Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That was the thought process. Gabriel didn't go to the kings. He didn't go to the elites. He went to a young, unknown Jewish girl. We were talking about this yesterday. What was she doing when she wasn't a king on a throne or a queen in the palace? No, probably just a young teenage Jewish girl, probably doing laundry or scrubbing the floor or whatever. And the angel came in that little town of Nazareth. 1 Corinthians 1:27 said, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God, listen, has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Psalm 136:23 says, who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her feeding child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet God says, will I not forget thee? God says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Many people in this room today feel invisible, feel forgotten. You show up. Hey, you serve, you're willing to serve. You keep the faith, yet it feels like everybody else around you, in the church, in your family, in extended family, in your workplace, wherever, everyone else is being noticed and promoted and celebrated, and you're just waiting. Heaven doesn't choose the loudest, it chooses the faithful. God sees every quiet prayer that you pray alone. God sees, listen, God sees every worn out dad that's just trying to make ends meet. God sees every tired mother just trying to raise your baby, some of you on your own. God sees it. God sees the weary grandparent often taking care of the grandchildren because the parents are struggling. Who knows the stories? But God sees it all. You are not on heaven's clearance rack. You are part of God. Listen, woo, you are part of God's redemptive plan. Don't disqualify yourself because you feel small, because you feel forgotten, because you feel worthless. Hey, don't do that to yourself. God has a habit, and we see in scriptures, God has a habit of doing his greatest work, his greatest miracle, his greatest accomplishment through people that the world ignores. That's God. You may feel invisible, but heaven sees clearly. Psalm 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. You feel forgotten? Matthew 10:30 says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Even the bald people, God knows how much hair you got. He sees you. Just because people overlook you, listen, just because people overlook you doesn't mean God has. You are not forgotten. You are positioned for God to use you and use your life and use your family in a mighty way. Believe it. God didn't forget his people. And listen, hey, God has not forgotten any of you. Any of you. I don't care where you're from, what you've done, where you've been brought up. God has not forgotten you. Stop believing the lie of the enemy, of the devil, that old Satan. He hates you. God loves you, and you are not forgotten. God didn't forget, number three, his messenger. Gabriel waited. You see him in the scriptures, God using him to speak to Daniel, to speak to Elizabeth and John. He waited, he prepared, he stayed faithful. He didn't need the spotlight. He needed obedience. We see it in Daniel 8 and 9. Gabriel brings understanding to the prophet Daniel. And we see in Luke 1 earlier in this chapter, Gabriel stands in God's presence as he says, hey, you're old. I know, Elizabeth, you're really old. And John, you're really old, but you're going to give birth to a son, or Zacharias, but God is going to give you a son. He's going to prepare the way of the Lord. God didn't forget his messenger. Some of the most frustrated Christians, we just mentioned, some of the most frustrated Christians are those who feel overlooked. God has a calling on your life. You know God can use you, but you're wondering if he will. You've heard me say it time and time again in sermon after sermon. You've seen me dance around the platform and down here and stay on the chairs and say, God wants to use your life. God can use your life. You'll hear me say it every week because I believe it. And yet, even though you know that God can use you, you're wondering if he will. But God uses those who stay ready. Who stay ready. Not those who demand recognition. I want to be seen. I want to be noticed. No. Your assignment may not come with applause, but it comes with purpose. I have got to stop living for the spotlight. Let me tell you something about me, and I've shared it from the pulpit before. I could be the spokesperson for insecurity. All right? God's given grace over the last 5-6 years since he brought me here, delivered me from addictions and things like that. But I'll tell you, for many years in ministry before I moved here, I lived for the spotlight. And God did, there were platforms I was given in front of thousands of people and youth rallies and things like that to be able to lead singing and preach. And the spotlight, I loved it. But deep inside, I was so broken and insecure and always longing for more. And I wanted my phone contactless to be full of all these important people in my mind. And if I had all these numbers, these people, then I'll feel complete. And that contact list grew, and so did my insecurity. We got to stop living for the spotlight. We got to stop. Hey, in your job, do your best, work hard, be a good employee. Don't live for the spotlight, for the recognition. Just do your job and do it well, because God's given you the strength to do it. Hey, listen, if you get a promotion because you're a good worker, great. But don't stay up all night wondering if everybody likes you at work. Don't do it in regards to church either. We're a family. We're all a bunch of messed up people. Okay? We're in this fight together. God uses those who stay ready. Faithfulness behind the scenes prepares you for moments of significance. But it starts with a humble heart, ready to serve, even if no one notices. We had people here yesterday decorating the church, and we're grateful for them. No one saw that. There was no hidden cameras. And look, they served here. No. It's we just work. We just do what we're supposed to do. Not for applause, but for the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay consistent in what God has already given you. You may not have a high position in your job, but you're a parent. Stay faithful in what God's given you, the job, the privilege, the honor of being a parent, being a mom, of being a dad, of being a spouse. Hey, make sure you're, I'm single, I don't have any kids. God has given you the opportunity as a Christian young person or older person, doesn't matter, in your job, in your community, in your neighborhood, to just be a testimony. Stay faithful, stay consistent in what God has already given you. Where you serve quietly today may be the place that God speaks powerfully tomorrow. But you got to stay faithful and humble now. God didn't forget his messenger. God hasn't forgotten his call on your life. God hasn't forgotten his purpose for your life. No, Scripture, we see it, honors faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Listen, God and Scriptures honor faithfulness. Colossians 3. Whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Hey, stay faithful where you are. God remembers who he can trust, who just consistently, listen, not we stray, I get it. We get lazy, I get it. But if our hearts are striving towards, I just want to follow God. I just want to serve him. I don't need the recognition. God sees that. Heaven keeps better records than earth. Hey, your job, your employer may not notice all the things you're doing. God does. And rest in that. God didn't forget his messenger. And lastly, this, God didn't forget faith that says yes. Luke 1:38, what did Mary say in response to the angel Gabriel, giving her this incredible job to do, really? You're going to bear the Messiah. She says, "Be it unto me according to thy word." In other words, whatever you say. Whatever you want, whatever you say. We sing that worship song, "I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. Be it unto me according to thy word." Mary didn't ask for a timeline. Mary didn't ask for clarity and, well, what about this and that? What about what? She just said, "Whatever you say." Romans says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith that says, "Yes, God, whatever you say." Hebrews 11, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." James 2, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Some of you are waiting to say yes to God until he answers every one of your questions that you have. "Well, God, I know you want me to do this, but what about this, 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 and this?" And you're waiting to say yes until God answers every question. But listen, church, we see in scriptures, obedience often comes before understanding. Just ask Noah, who was commanded to build a gigantic ark before it even started raining. Laughed at, ridiculed, and kept hammering away. Obedience often comes before understanding. Mary didn't know how. Mary didn't know when. She didn't know what people would say, but she trusted the God who spoke. Hey, your next steps of obedience may be uncomfortable, but it creates space for miracles, for the hand of God in your life. Stop waiting for perfect conditions. Say yes to the word that you already understand. God is calling you to be a godly parent. God is calling you to be a faithful spouse. God is calling you to be a hard worker at your job. God is calling you to be a faithful servant to the house of God. God is calling you to be a faithful witness of his gospel. God is already saying all that. We see it in scriptures. God is calling you to be kind. God is calling you to be gracious. God is calling you to be understanding. Hey, say yes to the word you already understand, and God will begin to give you more to do. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Jesus said in John 14, answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him." Your yes creates room for miracles. I haven't always said yes when I needed to or at all, but I'll tell you, the times I have, I've seen God do amazing things. We're baptizing 14 next week. Woo! I'm so excited. Knock the monitor over. We're baptizing 14 next week in this back corner. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. Do you get that? I was talking to Brother Fran. He said, "That's like a quarter of the congregation." I said, "I know. God's at work." Not because I'm some great pastor, but because a husband and wife that aren't perfect, parents, four little boys, not little anymore, that are growing up, with everything we have, by the grace of God, we just try to say yes to what God wants. That is not a way to go us. No, that's just people that, what else is there to do? That's what she said. She goes, "What else are we going to do?" Your yes creates space for miracles. You're wondering, you say, "Well, I haven't seen God do big things in my life. I've only heard the stories." Because you're not saying yes. You're staying comfortable. before the angels sang, before the shepherds ran to tell, before the child was born, God sent a message. Psalm 40:17, the psalmist says, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Hebrews 6, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God is calling us. Gabriel brought a message to Mary. God has given a message to you, a calling to you, a purpose to you. Will you follow it? What feels quiet is still intentional in your life of service. What feels delayed is still directed. What feels overlooked is still remembered. The people that God didn't forget in the Christmas story that we often overlook, people God didn't forget include you. He has not forgotten. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.